Bink, the humble monster.
I appreciate your time.
Sorry. But, my bad.
No, it's all good. I appreciate your time. We're on your time right now. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So I appreciate whatever you give me. But without further ado, on the Bink About It podcast, and we have here no other than Candy
and Bink.
Yeah. I like the little padded. Get you at your restaurant or your home?
I'm actually at home. It's a wall that they put some whatever.
In case you go crazy, you can go in that room and bang up the wall.
Something like that.
Yeah. Well, shit. Well, you know what's crazy? I'm glad I got you up here for the simple fact that it seems that people like yourself and Stevie J, people tend to forget about your music background because of the reality show. You know what I'm saying? So that's why I got you here, so I can bring them up to speed of why you're even there. You know what I'm saying? And why they even considered you to be there because of your extensive past in the music game. Mm-hmm. So with that being said, your first place in what was 99 as far as writing? What do you think?
My first official placement. I mean, I guess, technically, having little pieces here and there on some of our escape songs, the few times he allowed us to collaborate.
Right.
And they technically count, but I don't really count those because, okay, as a writer, producer, whatever, you know how you have those songs where you know you pretty much led the song, you came up with the idea, but then there were those songs where somebody else led the idea and you just put a little input here and there.
Right.
Okay, so that's how I feel about the escape records. Jermaine did most of it. He'll start the concept, start the idea, whatever. So if he let us collaborate on it, he pretty much had it laid out how he wanted it, and we just put little pieces here and there. So that's why I don't really count those, even though, we may have credits here and there on some of those songs, a little small percentages. But when I start actually really, really writing cool songs on people, yeah, you're right. That probably would have been, I guess, 99 with the
Bills.
Oh, you know what? I just thought about something.
Who on us from the artists from overseas?
I had a song that I did not get credited on that came out, and it was a little drama about it. I'm trying to figure out, did I ever make that? Was it on Mista's album? It was like a little group back in the day called Mista. Wasn't that a group that Bobby B was in?
I remember that group, Mista.
Was it Mista? I think it was on Mista album. Yeah, I had a credit on that. Well, I don't know if they gave you my credit, but I had something on that they hit first.
They got you.
He tried to get me, but I think it was one of the things you start singing an idea with another writer or whatever, and never go back to it. And then months later, you hear it's like, you're like, wait, that was me right there. I came up with that hook, that melody. That was me.
I remember that one.
But that wasn't like my breakout song or nothing. So I would say No Scrubs.
No Scrubs? Mm-hmm. So that was 99 No Scrubs came out?
Yeah, I'll Google it for you. Thank you. No Scrubs.
You had a lot of dudes mad at you, boy.
Oh, I sure did.
Yeah, that was 99. Tight with you.
It was people that was mad at me. It was people that was mad at them for singing it. I remember one time this dude had ran up on Chili in the mall, was mad at her about saying like, oh, you the one saying all these songs, whatever, like really pissed with her. And then I had another situation where I don't think I want to say this person's name.
But don't say their name. Don't give no
shit. A rapper producer dissed me on one of his records. It was like, yeah, fuck you and fuck the girl who wrote him or something. Something about the song. And he was like, yeah, fuck you and fuck the girl that wrote him. He was talking about me, definitely.
Absolutely talking about Joey.
He was absolutely talking about me. And I kind of felt a way about it because it was somebody I actually used to listen to his music. And I was like,
listen, when you go,
wow, like, you don't even know me. Huh?
But when you're going through something, it's certain records that resonate with you more so than others. So those two guys were going through something, and the person they was going through with it probably used that record. You see what I'm saying? And it's just some personal shit. Like, yeah. Super personal.
Yeah, I forgot what song it was, though. I can't even tell you what it was. I'll text you the name.
Right.
I text you the name of the person, though. I was like, wow.
Because I remember the other dudes in New York did a record kind of like the answer to it or whatever.
Yeah, but we got out of publishing off of that, so.
Yeah.
Because basically, they put the record out, and anytime you do an interpolation of somebody else's song, pretty much they get all the publishing from it. Unless you work out a deal with them before you release it, which they didn't. So basically, we got 100% of the song.
Oh, wow.
Of No Pigeon.
So, No Scrubs basically introduce you to Bills, Bills, Bills. That sets you up for that, basically.
Yeah, well, it set me up because basically, No Scrubs was the first song that we had to release with Shakespeare, right?
Right.
And he ended up getting his publishing deal and, you know, I guess that started setting him up as a producer. You know, like when you have a record that is hot and you just got back in the day when you got that new publishing deal, all the publishers was trying to get you to work with all the different
people. Game changer.
Right.
Yeah.
So they asked him to go and work with Destiny's Child. And he in turn asked me to go because I guess at that, you know, we had started like really getting a good groove in the studio coming up with
right.
records. So he was, I guess he just felt more comfortable with me going instead of going by himself to work with him. So.
Right.
Yeah. So yes, it set me up too.
Absolutely. That was a layup. So was it hard to get that off to Mr. Knowles?
Oh, yeah. Okay, so when we went to Houston to work with them, as soon as we got there, Matthew was like, yeah, you know, we pretty much already know who we're working with for this album, and we've already, you know, got an idea of what we're doing. So, I mean, we'll let you see what you could do. You know, maybe you could try something, see what you come up with, and... You know, but I'm just letting you know, it's pretty much already done.
Damn.
Well, he didn't say it wasn't done as in they had recorded, but they had already picked like who they wanted to work with.
Right.
And the record label basically kind of pushed us on them to say, right. You know, well, push Shakespeare on them and Shakespeare brought me. You know what I mean? Like, which it was already kind of weird because, you know, I was still in Escape at that time, and Escape was also signed to Columbia through So So Def, and they were on Columbia. So you got like a girl coming from another girl group, pretty much under the same label.
Your competition, and, basically, on the same
label. Yeah, and I'm coming here to write for you. You know right. what I'm saying? So it was kind of awkward anyway, because I was almost kind of like, you sure you want me to go? Like that type of thing. We didn't know each other that well. I mean, we had, you know, we knew, you know, we both on the same label, but we didn't like know each other.
Right.
And it was funny. The funny thing was I had managed Jagged Edge and had got them signed to So So Def. So their record was dropping at the same time.
Well, you was managing Jagged Edge?
No, I managed Jagged Edge and got their deal to So So Def. Like I managed them through the first single. So when they dropped the first single, and then I started having issues with my own group. And so I was like, I had to back up out the situation because it was just getting too stressful trying to figure stuff out for them, which that was my first time in the management game. And then trying to deal with my own situation with my group that was falling apart at the time.
I never knew that you had anything to do with that whole A&R situation with them. That's dope.
Yeah, man. See, I'm jumping two stories at the same time. Yeah. Okay, the quick backstory. Me and Wingo went to high school together.
Right.
So when I decided to manage one day, I called them. I called him, was like, hey, you still got that group? And he was like, yeah. I was like, oh, okay, well, come over to my house. I'm going to manage y'all. And it was just that simple.
Wow.
That simple. I partnered up with my homeboy Zeebo, and we took it to Jermaine, and he signed them. So anyway, but my point of telling you that was they had just did a tour with Jagged. You get what I'm saying?
Right.
And they were basically I ended up dating one of the members of the group. You get what I'm saying?
That part?
Which I shouldn't have managed and dated one of the members of the group.
Conflict of interest?
Yeah, conflict of interest, but we had broke up. But right. Now that same member was dating one of them. You get what I'm saying? So for me, I was all the way around like, are they sure they want me to go?
Well, you dating one of Destiny's Child?
Yes, yes.
Oh, yes. What yes. The world was super murky.
Yes. Yeah. But I mean, it's not like the topic came up when I came there because that was a topic, you know, it wasn't a big deal, you know right. What I'm saying? I just didn't know, like, you know, you want a situation like I don't want anybody to feel awkward, you know, and then plus, you know, they had the hit, they was just coming out with it, No, or whatever.
Right.
They were coming, they was rushing to do the second album so that they could, you know, build off of the success of No.
Right.
So that's why I think their dad, well, Matthew was pretty much kind of like, oh yeah, I already know what I'm gonna do. You know, I already know what I'm, you know, what producers we working with. You know, he had already had a plan in his head. So right. Here we come, me and Shakespeare kind of like, we're here, hey. And he was just basically like, yeah, maybe one spot left on the album. That was kind of like the attitude that he had. But the girls were really, really sweet, really cool. We went into the studio, and what really made it super cool was, I think Shakespeare had a different sound at that time, production-wise. Yeah,
he did.
And the beats were hard. And some of it was like tempo-wise was a little bit faster than what most R&B was happening. You get what I'm saying? And so my melodies were much, now everybody's like rap singing their melodies, but they wasn't doing it as much at that time.
Right.
And so I remember when we first went to the studio, he played the beat for, he was gonna play them a couple of tracks or whatever. He played the beat for, Bugaboo. And wow. I don't know if you remember that. It didn't sound like, if you would have heard the beat without the song, you wouldn't have thought somebody would have been singing over it. It didn't sound like something you would sing over.
Exactly.
So I remember he went out the room and Beyonce was standing there. Well, y'all ain't feeling this. Let's just go ahead and tell him because we don't want to waste his time or whatever. And I was like, if y'all don't mind, I had a melody, you know, I had an idea. And I like to sing it to you, you know, whatever. So I remember I had like most of the hook, the concept and everything that I had sang the melody to him for the verse. And then they were like, okay. And then the hook, and they was like, okay. So after that, everything just started flowing. And we went back like two or three times. And we ended up with 5 songs on the album. That was a long-winded story. Sorry for dragging it.
No,
it
wasn't long. I mean, damn. So Bugaboo, Bills, and what's the other three?
It was Bugaboo, Bills, So Good. Hey, Ladies, He Got to Go, and He Can't Love You. I mean, She Can't Love You. I'm sorry.
Wow. I mean, when you write, one thing about writing hit records, they tend to come back and give you some more money somewhere else. So Ed Sheeran ended up, you know, doing like an interpolation of No Scrubs. Mm-hmm. I know that had to be a nice check too, you know.
That was a blessing.
They can mess with Ed Sheeran, so I'm just like, hey.
That was a big blessing.
Absolutely. He's huge.
Yeah, No Scrubs has been the gift that keeps on giving. It's a whole bunch of people that either sampled the song or, like I said, a little interpolation of the song. Whether it's you had the No Scrubs, you had No Pigeons, which was a big song. You had the Ed Sheeran song. And it's been lots of other songs that have used bits and pieces that basically give us copyright in other people's records. So it just extends that song so many times over.
Right.
It's been a blessing. Actually, this past week they said No Scrubs just went 5 times platinum.
Oh, really?
Yeah, you know, it's weird because, you know, back then, we sold physical copies, right? Right. So once we got to 500,000 copies, they took it off the shelf so to force people to buy the album for the single.
Right.
But now that people can download that or stream the singles, it allows a song, an old song, is still selling technically. Because if you playing these old records, and you know they're on all these playlists over and over, you're just adding to sales basically.
Pretty much. So I'm trying to figure out, is it the same count for digital now? I know, like,
well, they have a different calculation, but whatever their calculation is, it's 5 times platinum in today's calculation.
So it's actually more than 5 million spins.
Basically.
Way more.
Because you have to have way more spins to get one. For it to count as one sale. Yeah.
That was the first sign of bullshit to me.
You hated it. I know.
Everybody did. Like, it's starting to, you know, show his head more now, you know what I'm saying? When you start getting these fucking these reports with all this paperwork in it, and then the check be $1,200. It's like, are you really?
You're like, you listen to my song 7 million times and I only get $1,200. Like, so. No kind of sense.
This shit is not cool at all.
Right.
But did y'all start y'all group in high school or after high school?
Escape? In high school. We started when I was in 9th grade. We got our record deal with Jermaine when I was in the 11th grade. And our single had dropped and turned number one before I started my first day of senior year.
A nigga like me would have had a single. Senior year, you would have had to put a pistol on my head to go to school.
Nah. The thing was, I was the only one that was still in school because the other girls, they're a little, you know, we all different ages, but they're a little bit older than me.
Right.
Tamika and Tiny, they were grade ahead of me. I tried to get Tiny to go back to school with me. She talked about it before. She didn't get her diploma back. I was trying to get her to finish with me so I wouldn't be by myself, but she's like, hell no. Tamika's got it graduated. So I was the only one that still had one more year of high school left. So I would go on tour and do shows with my group, and then I would come home and still have to go to school, the regular school with everybody else. And my teachers basically worked with me. My mom had got me an extra, like a tutor outside of the school. And they would basically give us all my work and I would take the work with me. But then when I came home, I had to go to take the tests at school, you know what I mean? And I was just not allowed. I was like, I had put too much work in to not graduate. You know, that was
true.
That was not gonna happen. You know what I'm saying? I was like, I'm definitely getting my diploma. So I just had to tough it out for that 1 year. I missed out on all the fun stuff, like senior prom and all that stuff. Like,
You didn't go? Okay, I thought you still went.
I went to high school, but I was on tour and had a show on the day of senior prom. Oh. I had a show on the day of my graduation, and I said, fuck that, I'm going home. And they got pissed at me because I got that, so I went home, did my graduation. I couldn't even stay and hang out. Like, I literally, as soon as we did, took the tassel to the side, I had to kiss my mom and my dad on the cheek and run out of there. And then I went to the airport. The flight was delayed. So by the time I got to whatever city we were in, the show was supposed to already started, but I, you know, they went ahead and let us go on. So they, the show was late going on that night.
Right.
And you know, that put you, the promoters would be pissed. Everybody's pissed. You know what I mean? But my group members was pissed at me and they was mad because they thought we wasn't going to do the show. And so they just was like, attitude on my graduation day. And I remember they had a cake for me. They didn't even want to give it to me. They, after the show, here. I was in my heart of hearts, I kind of felt like, damn, y'all should have went with me to my graduation. You know what I mean? But I just,
in a perfect world, I guess.
Yeah, you know, I just was like, fuck it, I don't care. Like, I wasn't gonna miss my graduation.
When did you cop your first car?
Actually, I was a late starter. You know, I've always been a saver. So all my group members had new cars and stuff. I was still driving my mama's car, my mama's old car. At first, I always had a car when I first started driving because, you know, my brother passed away when I was 15. So at first I used to drive his Toyota Celica or whatever. And then, you know, once my group started doing things, my mama had a little BMW. She let me drive her BMW sometimes or whatever. So I would be driving between her car and my brother's car that I had. And I had told myself I didn't want to buy a car until I could see $100,000 in the bank. So I did not get a car until we got like our advance on our second album.
Oh, wow.
Because basically, I mean, we wasn't touring like that. You know, I realized later that really you make all your money off of touring. And like now everybody's making money on appearances and stuff like that, but everybody wasn't doing them club appearances and stuff like the similar back in the 90s, you know what I mean? They made artists a little bit less accessible back then, you know what I mean? So we weren't just like in the club every week, you know, like they do now. So basically you only really made your real money on tour because, you know, you weren't making no money off of albums. They always found a way to keep you unrecouped. So,
boss, allegedly.
Yeah, whatever. And so we just, I just held up for a minute until I saved and stacked up. And I wanted to see that $100,000 mark in my account before I went and got a car. So everybody in my group had a new car before I went and got a new car.
So when you did go, what you go get?
I got a blue 325 BMW.
Mama inspired the BMW.
Yeah, I was like super into BMWs at that time, I guess, because of my mama. Yeah, it was just like a thing. It's like, oh, I got a 325. I got to get it like this, you know. Yeah.
You got it for the year that came out. The year you was in, that's the year the car was?
It was brand new. Yeah.
Yeah, you know, it's a difference. You know, so back then you come out with a, if it's 20.
Actually, I think it was, it wasn't even when our group came out. I told you I had saved. So I think it was a 95. I think I had waited a whole year because our group came in 93. We came out in 93, I think, because I graduated. Yeah, we came out in 93. I graduated in 94. Damn, did I wait that long? I think, yeah, it might have been like a year and a half to 2 years before I went out and
pick up the car.
Yeah.
Well, keeping you on the road, I guess you ain't really miss it too tough till you came home for a couple of days or whatever. So,
yeah, I wasn't really tripping like that.
Nah, yeah, I don't even trip. But Who Can I Run To is one of my favorite ones.
That's one of my favorites too.
Yeah. Who idea was to do that record, cut that record?
Jermaine.
Okay.
Yeah, he used to have like a lot of old albums and he just kind of like was going through his collection and he picked it.
Yeah, I did a great job on that one, that's for sure.
Thank you.
But then just kicking it, that was like y'all hip hop moment right there. Like
that was the song that kicked it off for us because that was our first single, but yeah.
It's a certain feeling I get when I hear that record. Like
what's the feeling?
I mean, just super like 90s, like you know what I'm saying? Like what was going on, the whole climate of the game and just how the big jeans and the wife beaters and the You know what I'm saying? Like Aaliyah, just like all that.
Crop top.
You know what I'm saying? So,
jeans. We had our boxers on, the boxers showing over the top of the jeans.
So, you know, that's why I'm like, yo, it's just certain music take you right. Because it was on the soundtrack, right?
Not Just Kicking It, that was on our album.
I keep associating that with a movie for some reason. I keep thinking that was part of a movie.
We had a few hits with soundtrack. I mean, what was that? Keep Keeping On with MC Light. That was on the sound. Wasn't that Above the Rim?
That's what I'm confusing.
Yeah.
The Above the Rim record with that one.
Yeah.
But other than that, we met in...
I was pregnant with Riley.
Yeah, so Riley was born
with you. We met in 2002.
2002?
She's born in 2002. When you thought you met me?
2001.
No, she was born in 2002. I was 7 months pregnant.
We worked with some goofy, some crazy overseas artists together. Nothing to remember. It was a check.
Okay.
It was a check. We got a check, but you know, say that's
in Miami, right? Where were we? Miami?
No. We was at the studio right by the Beverly Center. The one Michael Jackson recorded at.
Oh,
man. Was that Westlake over there?
I don't remember.
That's the Westlake down from the Beverly Center we worked at the first time.
Okay.
That's what he did.
You're right. Because I had my little cousin Jessica with me.
Absolutely. What's up with Jess?
She's doing good. Life is treating her well.
So you didn't have Riley yet. Now you got two more, right?
Yeah.
Two more kids and got married.
Bonus daughter.
Todd, cool as hell, good dude. I see y'all building a whole bunch with the play. No more plays. That's done.
I'm not gonna say it's done, but we haven't done another play yet. Now we're thinking about producing like the movies or sitcom.
Oh, more of a movie.
Yeah, like we really want to produce a movie or a scripted show.
Cause that's his background, though, right, Todd?
Production.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I wonder when he's gonna get back into that. But Riley is spooky. How much you guys look alike? Like.
You think so?
What? Nobody's ever said that to you?
People say it all the time, but to be honest with you, I used to think, especially growing up, to me, she just looked like a lighter version of her dad to me. But people never really see him. So it's like, you don't put that together.
No, but she grew.
She got my smile up.
She grew into your face to me.
Okay.
Like now that she's older, she looks a lot like you. Mm. Like in the eyes, a lot. Yeah, I got the same eyes.
I don't think so. I think she got his eyes. She got my smile.
So what, is she interested in music? I know at one time she was. She still
has that. She was, but that wasn't really her thing. I think I was trying to push that.
Oh, okay.
Like she wants to be in the music industry, but she wants to be an entertainment attorney. Like she want to be on the business side. You know, she gets really shy. So she likes being behind the scenes.
So she's out of high school now?
She goes to NYU. She's in New York.
What? For entertainment law.
Well, no, she's an undergrad now, so I think it was her. She's doing nutrition in undergrad. But she's switching it to business next year.
Okay. So they say you're supposed to have what? 7 streams of income, I guess? Mm-hmm. So you got reality show, you got your publishing for your records, you got Candy Coated, which is definitely went nuts.
You talking about Bedroom Candy?
Bedroom Candy, yeah. Bedroom Candy with nuts.
Yeah.
The Dungeon, which I still haven't witnessed. Heard a lot about it.
I can't believe you missed out on The Dungeon, though. honestly, everybody, people who have seen it, everybody be like, when are you gonna do it again? But unfortunately, it's COVID. Like, honestly, right now, we would have been rehearsing for it because for the last 2 years, I was doing it right around Halloween. We was, you know, doing the show because we got people who come to the show dressed up in costumes, but more like, you know, dominant in cool costumes. I toured it in the month of May last year, which was fun. No, not this year. Yeah, last year. Yeah. This COVID stuff is messing everything up.
You know, I was trying to get you to come to Virginia with it.
Like, right.
We couldn't work that out, but we were definitely deserving of that. Like, we needed to see that.
Yeah.
Down her. So you was on the Masked Singer?
Yep.
I see that. Was it fun though?
It was fun. It was really exciting because it was like trying to keep your secret identity and everything. It was all of this hush hush, but then it was nervousness because it had been a long time since I really been singing by myself, you know? It was like a mixture of emotions. It was stressful. It was stressful and fun, if that is even a way to explain it.
And I thought, I'm confused because when I did watch the show, I thought the people who had the guests supposedly win. I didn't know you guys win. The actual performance.
Yeah, one person gets to make it all the way to the end. So the people that are guessing, they're just basically, you know, adding to the fun of the show, you know. Okay. But the longer you last on there, you know, your identity doesn't get revealed until you get eliminated.
Oh, okay.
So
okay.
If you make it all the way to the end, then, you know, basically your identity was revealed. You were the last one to be revealed, basically.
So when you win, they just take you off the show, or you still go back and get eliminated?
You're not eliminated. It's over.
Okay, so the season is over. So, okay, they're not going to bring you back.
It was over. You know, they give you a trap, you know, confetti drops, so you get the trophy.
I know. It's like, you know, American Idol. They keep running that bitch, bring some new people on, and then bring you back. I don't know if it's going to be like that or not.
Well, the crazy thing is, like I said, I think it's because of COVID, we're not able to do anything extra. I mean, you know, I think the winners from the season before, they, you know, got to come back and sit in sometimes, you know, like as judges or whatever, and deal with different things with the show. But now I don't get to do anything with the show. I'm not even supposed to go anywhere.
True that. So is that holding up the Shy right now too?
They put taping for the Shy on hold because of COVID. Now they're saying they're going to start back up at the top of the year. So, I mean, I guess they just kind of like, you know, a lot of productions were afraid to film because of nobody knew what was going on with, you know, with this whole pandemic stuff. So, I mean, I am in the middle of filming Housewives right now, but to be honest with you, I'm so glad that they did push it back because Housewives is basically, they do not want us to travel out of state.
Right.
Because of COVID or whatever. And so basically that would have hindered me from being able to fly back and forth to Chicago like I was doing last year.
True that. That's a blessing.
Yeah, it worked out for me.
So did you have fun with the show?
Absolutely. I mean, I was super excited. This acting is something I always wanted to do. You know what I mean? Right. And so to actually have a real role on a show that I already was a fan of, you know, it was super exciting for me. And, you know, it was like a blessing to be able to show people the other side of me, you know?
I remember when you was telling me you was reading for the part. I was like, you're going to get it.
Yeah. I was nervous.
I mean, to say the least, because, like, it's different when they, like, action. Everybody looking at you like this. Go.
Right. Exactly. I was super afraid when I first went up there because I didn't know what to expect. You know, I had to go by myself. You know, I was just like, okay, you know, am I going to get along with everybody? How does this work?
And put your big girl drawers on for that one.
Right.
For a fact. But the next season, which I'm sure is going to probably get even more intense because the story is growing. Mm-hmm. So, you think you want to try to do a series along those lines, some more of a drama, something more funny? Like,
we want to produce something that's like more dramatic, and, like keep you on the edge of your seat. It's like, you know, I can't wait to next week.
That's right.
What you do, you know?
That's how Power had me for a while.
What? Yes, I think it had everybody like that.
Yeah, Power had me like in Narcos. I don't know if you ever checked that out before.
Yes, I've been watching it. Yeah.
Narcos was nuts. Mm-hmm. And especially to know it's true. You know what I'm saying? That's
right.
What, you know what I'm saying? That's
real crazy, man.
Super crazy. But the you got the restaurant. So with your mom and your peoples, every time I come to Atlanta, it's the line outside. Old lady gang, right?
One, old lady gang two, and I have one in the arena, but because the games and stuff, they shut down the arena for now, but when they open back up, it'll still be there.
Oh, for the Hawks?
Yeah, we had like the fast food version of it in the arena, yeah.
So the airport next.
That has been a conversation, but we have not started the steps to try to get in. Okay. Yeah. Not to say that I would pass on that. Now, to be clear, I would be open, but right now, it has not, we have not done anything to try to get in there. Right now, we are about to build out Olechi, which is going to be a Mexican restaurant that we're doing. We've just finished building out the Blade Steak and Seafood restaurant that we just did, and it hopefully will be opening in this coming month of November. So we just tying up all our little things that we knickknacks that we need to get tightened up with that one, but it's done, really.
I'm smoking them.
You said what?
I said, y'all smoking them, y'all. Like, you got your hands in a lot of different pots, man.
We got big dreams, trying to do big things, big dreams. You know?
Hey, you know, I know once you get to this level in your life, is building a team is essential. Like, you have, like, it's like.
Of course. And then you're trying to leave a legacy for our kids.
Right. Absolutely. You know what I'm saying? But it's like, you get so, you know, when you come from different level, like you're so used to doing things on your own. But it's like, you can never get to that other level without building some type of team around you to help you move along and break bread with those people as well. So it's dope that you're giving that many people this much opportunity. Well, you know, when you think about it.
That's the goal. You know what I mean? To like, I think, you know, what makes me excited about pretty much all the things that I've been doing in this last decade business-wise is like also being able to help bring other people up and give other people opportunity, you know, while I'm doing my own thing, you know?
And right.
So, yeah.
Are you going to make your way back to music at all?
Yes. You know, it's so crazy. I'm constantly having this conversation about it. Like, I had actually started working on the music while the Masked Singer was on air, right? Mm-hmm. But then everybody got quarantined and everybody got scared and I was in the house for a couple months, so I stopped doing the music that I was working on. Like, I had a couple songs that I was really feeling, and then I decided to go ahead and drop a song. What was that, end of May or June? It was like more of a dance type of record. I was planning to do the video, but then everything happened with, you know, George Floyd passing away. And it just didn't feel right to drop new music in that phase. You know what I mean? Like, nobody wanted to hear about your damn new song. Like, we talking about what's happening to Black Lives right now. So it really was crazy because I had put together, you know, I had worked out a situation with a distribution company, all kind of stuff. And we had like set up a schedule to drop this, do the video at this time, blah, blah, blah. But when that happened, it just put everything on hold. And right, I'm just now starting back to think like, okay, well, maybe I, you know, it's okay to get back started on stuff.
I mean, that's your first love. That's your first passion. So it's like, you know, it's hard to stay away from that. Like, you got to get back to it some kind of way.
Yep.
So you built another studio at your new house?
No, because, you know, I have an office recording studio, so I try to keep it separate. There's, like, really no point in building a studio here because, you know, I have a whole building with a studio in it.
So did you sell that house that you had the studio at, or you kept it?
I still got it right now. I leased it out, but I'm kind of thinking about selling it.
That was a beautiful studio you built over there. That was
really nice. Thank you. Well, it's no more equipment in there. It's just a guest house now for whoever want to move there. They can put their own equipment in it, I guess, if they want to. But the funny thing about it is it's a lot of movie studios they built over by their house now.
So
I probably could just either sell it or continue to lease it out to people.
I mean, once you offer that studio with it, it's a whole nother.
Well, I mean, I feel you, but it's like, what I'm going to sell you, I mean, I'm going to lease you my equipment and my house, but get your own damn equipment.
I mean, what you know, you ever been to Circle House in Miami?
Uh-huh, yeah.
Like the same type of...
Oh, you saying like if I just wanted to like lease a studio and...
It's house, yeah. You, house, you can come here and record, you can stay here too, no need for a hotel, right. You know, offer a cook and all that type of shit. It's like, okay, you know what? This might be a good idea.
That's true. I ain't think about it like that.
Yeah. Or for just for yourself. You know what I'm saying? Because once you get going, it's like you don't need to be booking no studio time nowhere. Like, doing that shit right in the crib.
I got another studio, though.
Office studio.
You haven't been to the one that I got now?
No. 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 No.
Okay. Well, next time you come to Atlanta,
yeah,
I have to take you over there.
Yeah, I gotta see that. Like I say, you know, I gotta get back with you on the music side too. So who produced the ones that you did before COVID?
Actually the engineer writer that I work with a lot now, J.O., he did a couple of them. Yeah.
Yeah, we got a lot back in. It was actually 508 million views for No Scrubs. That's nuts.
It's a blessing.
Like, what year? 2002? 2001?
What? When we
No did? Scrubs? No Scrubs, 99.
99.
That's 500. That don't even sound logical.
I guess. You know, all these songs be getting tons of views now.
Like, that's a fucking... Like, those type of spins, you could look in the bank account and reflect that, okay, I got 508 million spins. Like, I see the money. It's like, it's not the same anymore.
No, that the streaming does not equate the same to dollars.
Insane.
It does not mean you got $500 million because it's a $500 million spin.
By far. Do you think, which one gave you more... Stardom was the music career or the reality show? What you think put you
stardom
out there?
Meaning
like people say, oh, there's Candy, like type shit. Like,
oh, the reality show,
hands down. Not talking
because
about.
You gotta think back when my group, when we were doing our thing back in the day, like people weren't in celebrities' personal lives as much as they are now. The internet did not exist in the 90s. I mean, social media didn't exist in the
90s. Right. They missed the show, though. They missed the show.
You said what?
Like, they missed the show, though, because we had a lot going on.
Oh, we had some crazy stuff going on back then. But my point is, it wasn't any reality TV, which is almost a blessing for some of us.
Absolutely.
Yeah. But so they didn't get like all into people's personal lives back then. And they used to always try to tell you it's not so good to be so accessible and all, you know, back then that was the thing. So, you know, it's totally night and day different. They didn't really know everybody. Like now, because I've been on Housewives for, I'm taping my 12th season. It's season 13. But I've been on there since season 2, so this is my 12th season I'm taping that's about to come out.
Damn.
So with that being said, and all the other, you know, specials, spinoffs and stuff that I've had, so people know everybody in my family, they know all my friends, they know my husband, my kids, you know, so it's just kind of like different than back when I was in the group when they just be like, oh yeah, that's that girl from Escape.
Right.
Now they know my full name. They know everything.
Old Lady Gang.
Right.
Dungeon.
Bertha, I know her. They go on Mama Joyce. You know, they know everybody.
You know, Candy will cry at the drop of a dime when she get mad.
Yes. And that is so crazy because my friend, she was like, when did you start doing all this damn crying? Because I ain't never known you cry like that before. And what I realized was in my everyday life, typically, I'm not going to let you keep questioning me and to upset me. You know what I mean? Like,
right.
You're not going to be getting me upset like that. Or either half the time, we're not going to be talking about the things that are super, super important to me. But on this TV show, you saw me and my mama go back and forth about my relationship, which obviously makes me hurt. You see my daughter and us talk about the situation with her dad, which is hurtful to me. You seen people piss me off that I couldn't just like walk away and be like, oh, kiss my ass and walk away like typically in real life. But I normally, because you right here in front of the camera, you got to keep dealing with this shit. And then it just makes you go, ah, and then you crying. You know what I'm saying? So I was just like, it's not like what I normally deal with day to day. So yes, I am super emotional, but typically in my everyday life, I don't have to deal if I don't want to.
You can just shut it down.
Yeah.
But dealing with Nene is definitely a situation.
Like, well, unfortunately, I don't have to deal with her.
No, great. But me watching that sometimes was just like, I wanted to dive in the TV, like, shut up, like, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, you know what I'm saying? Like,
people be talking to you super crazy sometimes on this show, man. Sideways.
She just got this certain tone, this like, her and Kenya, like, that's two of the most annoying women I think I watched on TV.
Kenya really get along, it's so funny.
Now, right?
Yeah, we do. We really get along.
Kenya, sorry, you rubbed me the wrong way a few times on TV.
Who, me?
No, Kenya.
Like, oh, right, okay.
Like, you know, her and her, the way she dealt with her people was just like, hey, you're a good one. that's
knows if she pushes buttons.
She, man, she's different. Like, she.
I feel like that's her role on the show.
Absolutely.
She's here to push buttons. That's how I feel.
Her and the other girl from the other show, Erica Mena,
Safari.
Safari, like Jesus Christ, like she is annoying to me.
Well, he married her, so she must be out.
They're married now?
They're married.
Amazing. Amazing.
Yes.
Hey, guess he found his match. Well, I ain't gonna keep you long, man. I just wanna, you know, I'm glad I got a chance to finally kick it with you and talk to you. Not a lot of people that you meet in the industry that you can actually call a friend. So, you know, that's my dog. And I can do that with you. So I appreciate you taking time to talk to me, friend. Like, for real.
No problem. How long you been doing this podcast?
This is the 13th episode, actually.
Whoa.
So we knee deep. Mm-hmm. 10 toes in. I did John Sally. I did S1. I did Young Guru. I did Michael Bennett from the Seahawks. I did Jill Scott. I did. Oh, really? Yeah. But her internet was going ape shit.
Why?
I don't know. Well, she live at in Nashville.
Oh, okay.
Her internet was, the internet gods was just like not messing with me that day at all. It was like, nope. It was like,
I hate when that happens.
Yeah, so it was a great opportunity, but we had to cut it short because she'd be talking, all of a sudden she'd be like,
frozen.
Like, no, not again. Had about five times, so we had to just lay it down, but we had at least a good 30 to 45 minute conversation that I did get out of it.
Well, that's good.
Yeah, so it's been real cool. You get on Clubhouse yet?
What's that?
It's a new app that's on your phone. It's called Clubhouse. It's like they have all these little audio chat rooms that you can just talk. It's some new shit. You know what I'm saying? They got it.
I swear, it's way too many apps out here.
It's too many, yo. It's like,
I can't keep up. It's too much.
They sent me an invite last week, and I've been dropping in, like, in and out. But you see all your peoples up there that you've been knowing forever. It's like, basically, like,
Todd has been on there. I've seen him talking.
Yeah, I know Todd up there. He got to be. It's just the newest thing. And it's like people, they got an evaluation like 100 million already for the app, some Silicon Valley shit. But it's basically, like I say, it's a chat room.
Y'all need me a lick like that. Give me some 100 million.
You feel me?
Come on now.
You got to cash all these businesses in to get there.
Like, that is little money. I need me some. With how many commas? Multiple commas.
That's three.
I need four, five. I need me some Amazon commas.
Amazon kicked ass during this whole pandemic.
What? Oh, my gosh.
Apparently, their packages don't get COVID. Apparently not. They got immunity from that shit. But again, like I said, I ain't gonna hold you. I appreciate you coming out, Candy. Love you like a sister, man. And I'm proud of you. Like, for real. Like, all jokes aside, super proud of you.
Thank you.
You're welcome, Tara Riley, Todd, and the rest of the gang. I said hello.
Will do.
Be out there soon.
Bye.
Bye, mama.